Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight, with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is John Carpenter, an expert on a number of apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Tonight, John will lead us in an in-depth examination of one of these apparitions. Here now is John Carpenter, who will tell us which of Our Lady's apparitions we will examine tonight.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Journey with Mary and the first Sunday of Advent. Yes, Christ is coming again. And we look forward to this celebration. And what we do on this show is very unique. We study the appearances of His Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yes, she has made appearances all over the world for the last almost 2,000 years. and almost 3,000 times. So obviously she's been very busy. And it's not that we wished for this, asked for this, expected it to happen. It just has been happening. It wasn't our idea. She started showing up, and we started documenting that these things are happening, and not just in France or Italy, but all over the world. Places like Vietnam, China, Australia, Nicaragua, down in Argentina, and other places around the world. Africa, it doesn't matter. She's appeared everywhere. So it's not like somebody copied someone else or got the idea from a neighboring country. These things happened over the centuries in all different locations, different times, and different things going on. And so what we're doing on this show is trying to study the best ones that we can find in terms of details and information and pass them on to you. Why, just most Catholics can probably name 4, 5, maybe 6 apparitions that they know about. And if they're really lucky, they might know about 10. But chances are they don't. And here I've studied 101. Not sound like many. It's only 4% of the total. But yet that is still quite a few to talk about. So what we try to do is bring you the best information so you too can be educated and aware and hopefully inspired, and that you can learn what heaven is doing with these appearances. It's quite clear heaven knows exactly what's going on this planet at all times, and even knows what's coming for us. And those predictions have all come true thus far. And there's predictions to come, which might make you shake in your boots a bit, but better to know about it than to be in the dark. So what we try to do is, again, just pass on the best information and go from there. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Mr. Donald Hartley. How are you doing tonight, Donald?
Oh, John, we are doing really good, and just looking at what you were talking about as far as Advent and Jesus is coming. You know, Pope Paul IV, he was just the 8th successor of Peter. He began developing a calendar or improving the calendar that appears that the Catholic, you know, that is it instituted the season of Advent in 567 through the Council of Tours. This council also proclaimed the 12 days of Christmas. You know that story? On the first day of Christmas, my true love said to me. Well, anyway, the 12 days of Christmas from December 25th to the Feast of the Epiphany, the manifestation, which ends on the 6th of January, which is a sacred festive season, which I think it's interesting because you have these two seasons that were put together or brought together at the Council of Tours. And 567 again, giving us these two seasons, the season of Advent, which is preparation for the coming of the King, and then also the 12 days of Christmas. And unfortunately, like in America, a lot of people think, well, Christmas ends Christmas. You know, okay, you know, the 26th of December, well, Christmas is over, and then, you know, they move on to something else. But in reality, it's a 12-day season. So day one is the 25th of December, which is the actual birthday of Jesus Christ, December 25th, 2 BC. And so it's just very interesting, and I thought that was something that, you know, that, you know, we are, this is the first day, the first Sunday of Advent, because we are preparing for the King. And one other thing I got to report here, John, which is kind of sad, because of what's going on with the Salvation Army. You know, when you go to Walmart or you go to some store there, and they got a little somebody out there with a little bell out there dressed as a elf or Santa or something. Well, you know that they have really got into this woke thing where they want all their white donors to apologize for being white. And I tell you, when my wife and I saw that, it was on Fox News. They were showing this on Fox News initially. That's how I came aware of it, and it just, I mean, that just teed me off. And so I've put out a couple of articles on that. I've looked it up online and found out, and it's obviously true. They came out with a handbook, I guess, in this last April, where they're encouraging white people to apologize for being white. And it just, the culture, I could almost do a whole show on that, but I'm not going to do it here, just that because we're into Christmas season, and this is just news that just bothers me. Had you heard anything like this, John?
Nope, not at all. That just makes no sense at all to me. It's just absolutely bizarre. It doesn't fit anything of any sense to me at all. So, but we won't get into that now.
No.
Because tonight we're returning to Medjugorje for more story there.
Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, you're always forgetting me. No, I'm just kidding.
I am never forgetting you.
Speaking of, you've heard some news. I've heard some, too. There is a cable channel that advertises that they run positive TV shows like Little House on the Prairie and with good clean humor, and they do. They're featuring a premiere movie that is going to be premiered on their channel, which will crown the King and Queen of Christmas. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, the King of Christmas is Jesus Christ, and his mother Mary is the Queen. Those positions are filled. What are they doing?
That's a good question. I would be kind of wondering if I doubt if this is a religious movie. I for some reason I'm not picking that up. That's probably and it's a good point to make, especially for Christmas. And we got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, and this is Jefferson City. Kathy, how you doing there, Kathy?
I'm good. How are you?
Outstanding. And
we're great.
Happy Advent.
Same to you guys.
So, all right. Well, tonight we return to Medjugorje. And last week we left off with talking about how Vishka and Yakov had a little, about 20-minute journey with Mary to heaven, hell, and purgatory. And we ended that little clip with their descriptions of what they saw, which matches everything that I've researched as well. But interesting thing was that Yakov's mother was looking the whole time for them while they were 20 minutes missing from the house, because she just saw them, and then suddenly they're not there. And then 20 minutes later, they suddenly reappear, and she's wondering, where were they? And so she told them. So, interesting thing about that journey, it wasn't like they were just sitting there in an ecstasy, seeing things visually with Mary. They were physically with her and gone. So that was just kind of an interesting little sidebar to that. And speaking of heaven, Ivanka, one of the other visionaries, was granted a special request by Our Lady on May 7th, 1985. And Ivanka says, quote, "I never saw Mary so beautiful as on this evening. She wore the most beautiful gown I have ever seen in my life. Her gown, veil, and crown had gold and silver sequins of light. There were two angels with her. I don't have words to describe this. Our Lady asked me if I had some wish. I told her I would like to see my earthly mother, who had just died like a month ago, smiled, nodded her head, and my mother immediately appeared. My mother was smiling. Our Lady told me to stand up. I did, and my mother embraced and kissed me and said, 'My child, I am so proud of you.' Then she kissed me and disappeared. After this, I asked Our Lady if I could kiss her. She nodded her head, and I kissed Our Lady. She blessed me, smiled, and said, 'Go in God's peace,'" unquote. Ivanka said later that her mother looked the same, but much prettier, with no evidence of the suffering she'd gone through in the last years. but her body was no longer like our earthly bodies. Ivanka added that touching Our Lady's body was different than that, and that her dress had a metallic feel to it. And then Ivanka adds, she says, many people do not believe there is life after this life, but I'm here as a living witness, and I can say there is definitely life after life, because I was able to see my mother. This scene was not just for me, but for all mankind. All right, let's stop and talk about that for a second. Very interesting presentation by Mary of Ivanka's mother, who had just died the month before. What do you all think?
Well, I think it's interesting about the idea that Mary took them to purgatory, to heaven, hell, purgatory. And I'm looking in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, when Enoch walked with God, and he was no longer here, for God took him. So, I mean, it's not unbelievable to understand that God can do that. And, of course, in the case of these children of Medjugorje, they were brought back. But God can certainly do that. And so in the case of Enoch, God kept him, apparently, as well as Elijah. Also, Elijah went to heaven in a fiery chariot a little bit later on down the line. But I'm just showing or saying that on the other side of the veil, if the Lord has a purpose or a reason to, he can do it. With him, anything is possible. So I just thought that was an interesting. Someone might be thinking, how could these children go specifically to heaven, hell, or purgatory, or given a vision of it even? We know that Saint Juan, Don Bosco, had a dream. He would have dreams more than he would have visions, or he's known for having dreams. And in a particular dream, he was shown hell as well. And as he was getting ready to leave the gates of hell, the angel placed his hand on the wall. And this is the outer bearing of hell, the outer. And his hand was burned. He just yelled, And then when he woke up, he realized that his hand was really, really burned. I mean,
right.
Very interesting, very interesting. So on the other side of the veil, we are given glimpses for our benefit. When God does something like this, it's for our benefit, that there is truly a heaven that awaits us. And also there is hell for those who reject it, and then also purgatory for those who have to work out some more details, I guess. I guess that's the way to put it.
That's kind of a cleansing operation there. Spiff you up and get you ready. Yes, well said. And it's true that many visionaries actually got glimpses of heaven, hell. I mean, the Fatima children did, and Kibeho visionaries did, and there were many others that got glimpses, and their glimpses all sounded alike, too. They saw the same kinds of things, as have many other people, and other saints as well had visions, like Faustina and others had very clear visions. So it's interesting, and it's kind of neat that what Ivanka really wanted, Mary was able to grant just immediately, and that was pretty cool. So any other reactions before we move on?
Well, I just can't help but think of an example of a private revelation was given to a Catholic nun, Sister Maria Serafina Michelli. I think I said that pretty well. Well, anyway, when an angel appeared to her, Sister Michelli, who was beatified, by the way, she's not just some regular nun, but she was beatified on 28 May 2011 when she was in the city celebrating the birth of who? Martin Luther, his birthplace, which is in Saxony, Elsenben, Saxony. And she would become the founder or the foundress of the Sisters of the Angels, who was troubled traveling through the streets as crowds of people were preparing for the arrival of the Emperor Wilhelm, who was the main presider over these events honoring Martin Luther. Well, actually, she goes and she's looking for a Catholic church, and as she's praying, she's at a Catholic church, and she had not realized that it was not a Catholic church. It was probably like one that I went to, or not went to, but I had actually visited when I was in Germany, a church that was Catholic but taken over by the Protestants. And when I went into that church, as I walked in, I spoke to this guy there, and I said, I have to tell you, I am Catholic, and I am reclaiming this church for Rome at least for 15 minutes. He just smiled at me and kind of thought it was funny. But I was there. But anyway, that's probably what she had done. And as she prayed, an angel of the Lord appeared to her, saying, arise, because it is a Protestant church. And the angel proceeded to grant a vision to Sister Michele, saying, but I want you to see where Martin Luther was condemned and the pain he suffered as a punishment for his pride. And notice it says pride here. And so what she witnessed was horrible, a horrible abyss of fire that came into focus, where she witnessed many countless souls burning in hell. She witnessed Martin Luther surrounded by terrible demons, tormenting him with what she described as hammers trying to place nails in his head. And the angel warned that Luther's greatest sin was pride. And because of his pride, many souls followed him there in their rebellion. And guess what day that Protestantism was born? You guessed it, October 31st, 1517, which is the Satan's holiday, I guess you'd say. But that is just a sad situation. And so the children, what they saw was what the children of Fatima saw. And so,
right.
You can't help but realize that this is important for the Lord to be giving us these visions over and over and over at different times and places. I think that there's reason for us to, we have to realize, hey, there is danger there. And the only way to escape that is for sure the Catholic Church. Of course, God can save anybody he wants, you know, but we know it's through his Catholic Church, which is the primary means of salvation. And so it's hard. Go ahead.
In my research for my book, The Intense Reality of Eternity, I studied all this so much, and very often God or Jesus would want sinners to see where they would have gone had they died that day. And many atheists were shown their place, and many were shown the depths of hell and the exact kind of torments were there and what kind of torments they would most likely have if they were to die that day. But it wasn't their time, but before they left, they just wanted to show them a glimpse. And, of course, they changed their lives completely after that, which was why my book has a lot of atheists quoted in it, because they saw things that changed their world quickly. And, of course, that reminds you of the guy in prison in Claude Newman.
Claude Newman.
Friend denied God and everything until at the very last, right as he's about to get the electric chair.
Sure.
Mary grants this vision at Claude's request, who has already died, and is shown his friend, Hughes, I believe was his name.
Hughes is
shown his place in hell where he was about to go. And that made him scream for a priest and confess all his sins and change his ways at the last second. So these glimpses are quite powerful and quite life-changing if you're lucky enough to get one. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You thought you got anything about that? You thought it, or what do you think about that, there, Kathy?
I really don't have anything to add to what you guys said.
Okay.
Because when I think of Kathy, there, John, she is a holy lady. She loves Jesus. She loves her faith and the Catholic faith, and she goes to these conferences whenever and wherever she can, and she's full of life. And so I'm not surprised that she would. I mean, to like me, she wants to boycott hell. Would you also want to try to boycott hell, there, Mike?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we want to boycott hell.
I got my picket signs ready to go.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Well,
moving
so
on.
Does Our Lady. Our Lady. Our Lady wants to boycott hell too. So.
Oh yeah. In October of 1984, 6,000 priests from all over the world attended a charismatic retreat in Rome, privileged to hear both Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II speak. After this retreat, 110 priests, and most were American, from three different countries felt compelled to visit Medjugorje. 110 priests. So on October 13th, of course, one of Mary's favorite dates, they met in the late afternoon. Four of the visionaries were in the hall beneath them. Our Lady appeared to the children and related a message for these priests. And this is what she told the children to tell these visiting priests. Quote, "My dear sons, today the Lord has permitted me to gather you here to give you the message which is for all those who love me. My dear sons, pray and always ask God to continue to inspire you. Thing you do in the future, always seek the will of God. My dear son, thank you for having answered my call to come here," unquote. So Mary's admitting there that these 110 priests that felt compelled to visit Medjugorje were actually summoned by her so that she could give them this message to the children. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting, too, that when I was there, there were priests from all over the world, from various different, and they all celebrated the Mass all throughout. I mean, that was, to me, amazing. And when you went to confession, there were always many priests that were available to hear confessions all day long. I don't know how you get around all that because of the environment. I mean, the environment. It was almost like fable because when we left Germany, and it was a 24-hour bus ride just to get there up in the mountains about 40 miles east of Mostar. And, I mean, you'd be climbing these mountains on the bus, and you look down that window, and all you see is this, I mean, thousands of feet. I mean, just into a gully. I'm like, whoa, please don't go off the road. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And but I mean, it was scary too. It was. It really was, because these are narrow roads, and it's just like, man, you got to go slow on these things, and you definitely don't want to go down them when it's icy. Oh no, 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 no. So, but when we went there, it was a scenic route. I'll tell you that. It was a 24-hour bus ride, but I mean, the whole idea when you got there, the whole place was just, I mean, it was all everybody was converted, and the faith was so strong, and you saw it everywhere. We were staying at people's homes. People would invite us into their homes where we would stay. They didn't have hotels at the time, and they didn't have and it was just a wonderful experience that we were seeing from the people there. It was amazing. That was definitely something that was, when we got back to Germany later, a week later, I mean, it was almost like, man, I can't. It was like unreal. It's like a time of fable. It really was that way. It felt that way because of the holiness and the environment.
Yeah.
That plays a lot. And we could do the same thing in our homes, too. We can have that kind of environment in our home. So I think that's important for us. Go ahead there, John.
Well, that certainly hear that from many, many people. They have the same feeling having been there. It's such a place of holiness and such a special feeling. It just changes you just to be there. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go sometime. All right. Well, in 1982, she told the six children that she would give each of them 10 secrets gradually released over time, and they would not see her quite as often. The credibility of the six visionaries has remained intact over the years. They have never contradicted themselves in relating messages of the Blessed Virgin. They have been subjected periodically to every type of medical and scientific examination available. The following comments were the conclusions of 17 renowned scientists, doctors, psychiatrists, and theologians from their long and detailed research on January 14th, 1986 in Pana near Milan, Italy. And here's the results. Quote, the results prove that the apparitions to which the visionaries testify are a phenomenon that surpasses modern science, and that all points towards some other level of happening, unquote. Now, that's what these renowned scientists concluded. That it surpasses.
John, where did you find that information? Is it something that anybody can see? Is it something that is published?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that to me, what you just shared right there is huge. Because there's still, like we've talked about this before. There's, you just look at the, you just Google Medjugorje, and you're going to find all kinds of, I mean, depending on where you're at on this, some people are so opposed to it, they can't even think about it. And then there's some other people that are so much for it that they can't think of anything else. I mean, I'm kind of in the middle there.
Well,
you know,
and this is in my first book, and every quote in my first book is specifically referenced, the source, page number, all that. So, and I know you have my first book, so if you look under science, the science chapter, it will be in there, and this quote will be in there. It was a major study that was done and completed in 1986, again, with 17 renowned scientists, doctors, psychiatrists, and theologians. But again, I'll read that since it's so important. They said, the results prove that the apparitions to which the visionaries testify are a phenomenon that passes modern science, and that all points towards some other level of happening, which is short of saying supernatural. Now, another team of specialists from the University of Montpellier, France, ran many tests on 5 of the visionaries during their apparitions. And here are their findings. Number one, within 1/5 of a second, they simultaneously kneel and look precisely at the same spot in the air without any visible reference point when the Virgin Mary appears to them. Number two, all eye movements ceased in a time period lasting anywhere from 3 minutes up to 45 minutes. No eye movements. Number three, nobody blinked in response to any eye being touched. Number four, they did not react to any pain they were subjected to, including an algometer, which causes lesions or skin burns. Number five, activity. Number six, They showed no reaction to a hearing test, an input of 90 decibels equal to a loud explosion in their ears, and no reaction. They did not blink. Number seven, they did not blink when a 1,000-watt light bulb was placed in front of their eyes. Now, most of our light bulbs are like 60 watts, you know, maybe 100 at the most. This is a 1,000-watt light bulb placed in front of their eyes, and they didn't blink. Number eight, their regular voices stopped during the vision, yet all muscles of the mouth, jaw, and throat that are involved in speech continued, but the voice box was shut off. It's kind of like when you push a mute button for a TV, and, you know, the TV continues, and everything looks right, except you can't hear anything. And the scientist said this is physically impossible that their throat muscles and the voice box continues to be active, and yet we can't hear anything. Interestingly, the visionaries did say they could hear each other during that time in their presence with Mary. They could hear each other, but we couldn't hear them. And when they would go into that phase, they would stop on the same exact word, praying. Their voices would shut off on the same exact word, even though their mouths and everything would keep moving. And when their voices returned, it would be at the same exact split second. That's just impossible to fake or even try to fake. And the scientists were very impressed by that. So the French team then concluded, quote, nothing in the physical realm interferes with their experience. This phenomenon seems to be a state of active, intense prayer, partially disconnected from the external world, in a state of contemplation with a separate person whom they can alone see, hear, and touch, unquote. So there you have a whole nother group of scientists again saying there's something there, but they can't explain it. Any reactions to that?
I think it's interesting that with all of this information, which, the, you know, basically you go to 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, beloved, do not trust every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they belong to God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I think it's interesting that even though, and your case is, that you're sharing here to me is very, very powerful. I mean, there's, I think what's interesting is that neither of these tests, neither of these scientists or the those that were from France, nobody there is trying to say that this is all of God or even of the devil. All they're saying is that there is something here and they can't explain it. So it's really
right.
Basically leaving it up to the church to define it or to investigate that part of it. Obviously, something
sure.
is unusual and supernatural that's taking place, but they're leaving it up. I think from the scientific community, well, those 17 individuals, as well as those from France, that from what they're showing, something is definitely taking place here. And so the church, in its, you know, in its investigative, I mean, that's what the charism of the Holy Spirit does for the church. It's so the church doesn't lead anyone into error, and that's why this is a big, big deal. What do you think about this, Kathy? Just out of what you, what John just shared. Kathy. Okay. How about you, John?
Hey, Mike.
John? Or, I mean, Mike? I'm sorry,
oh,
John.
Oh, there you
John,
go. This is quite interesting because one of the things that we rely on when you're talking about strange events or strange things going on is that the scientific community is going to be able to test all this stuff. Well, the scientific community doesn't have a test for this.
That's right. That's right.
Well,
in fact,
can you imagine? I can't even imagine. I don't even like having anybody try to put a contact lens in my eye, or you know, if something gets in my. I can't even imagine. And then you put 1,000, you take a light bulb, just a regular light, and put it right into your eye. There ain't no way that you're going to keep from being able to close your eyes or blink or, you know, under normal circumstances. That's pretty amazing. I mean, there's just some things you just can't fake.
Especially over 5 or 6 different kids. Maybe one could be impressive and resist a lot of things, but they get 5 or 6 random kids and have them all be perfectly, you know, unresponsive. That is just beyond the odds anyway.
Yeah. At the same
enough for
time
one
in
person
the same situation.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is incredible.
I have an update on science too, a more recent study a few years ago that they were checking their brain waves during all of this, and they found something they couldn't explain there either. That while the kids were actively talking with Mary and, you know, smiling and responding to her, their brains were showing delta waves. And delta brain waves are what you usually see in comatose patients. Comatose. And not people who are awake and alert and talking with Mary. The scientists said they have never seen this before, and they found it in other visionaries from Ecuador, from South Korea, from other apparitions as well. Same results, delta waves every time. And they really can't explain it. Neurologists have no clue. They say it's impossible, and yet it's happening. It's almost like the brain just shuts down so that Mary can enter in, because their own brain is just basically gone comatose, but they're actively spiritually involved, and that might be why they don't respond to anything, because they're really out of it in terms of being here. Interesting thing, the scientists then concluded in that study that they were basically in a higher level of reality momentarily, and pretty disconnected from our present reality. But they said it was not a hypnotic state, not an altered state, not a deep state of relaxation. It was just the opposite. It was a heightened level of reality, in their opinion. And in my way of saying it, they had 1 foot in heaven, 1 foot on earth. So there. So... interesting stuff.
Wow. Very.
Yeah. You can't fake that. You can't fake delta brain waves. You just can't do it. You can't even try to do that. It's not possible to fake that. So that adds a lot of legitimacy to what they're going through. All right. Well. Moving on, here's some other supernatural stuff, and you might know a lot about this, Donald. During Bosnia's bloody war, the conflict came to within 5 miles of Medjugorje. All the surrounding villages were destroyed by the enemy, and most of their people massacred, but Medjugorje seemed protected, as if in a safe bubble from all evil, maintaining a tranquil, peaceful atmosphere. Even when bombs were directed at the village, they would explode safely high in the air or lie unexploded in nearby fields. I bet you heard about that.
I did, and I'll tell you this. I mean, I went to those who dealt with that, with bombs and that kind of, I mean, dealt with that information. And I asked them about the prospects of bombs exploding in the air like that. And they said, coming from the Soviet Union, that would be definitely impossible, because they were designed to explode, not on impact, but like, say, if you hit the top of a house, the object is so that it would not explode when you hit the house, But when you get to the first floor, you know, I mean, the object is that it would do damage, not just from the top of where it hits, but it would hit and explode there as you get down into it, into the building. And I thought that was fantastic. I mean, just the idea of that. So for them to explode in the air like that, doesn't happen.
No. So Medjugorje remains safe. And here's another example mentioning Russian stuff. Finally, on a clear blue sky morning, emphasize a clear blue sky morning, two Russian-made MiG fighter jets approach Medjugorje to destroy it. On this cloudless morning, suddenly a dense fog appeared and mysteriously covered the entire town and obstructed their vision. They were unable to drop their bombs, and for some reason, one of the jets went down, killing the pilot. The other jet returned safely to base. Apparently, the surviving pilot was so unnerved by the bizarre incident that he defected from his military unit. And therefore, the peacefulness of Medjugorje continues to only be disturbed by the church bells ringing and roosters crowing. What do you think of that a little bit?
Oh, my. And also the sheep and everything else. If you go there, it's like it was for centuries and centuries, and the way the people live. Now, probably a little bit more than that now because you got hotels there. They didn't have that when I was there. They got different things, I guess. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a McDonald's there now. I don't know.
Oh, I'm sure.
But, yeah.
John?
That's the problem with commercial. Go ahead there, Mike.
Michael?
Has it, to the best of your knowledge, has Medjugorje and some of the other sites of Marian apparitions, have they turned into what we commonly call tourist traps?
It
depends on what you consider a tourist trap. I mean, I wouldn't say they become like Times Square in New York City where there's tons of souvenir shops, but, you know, people often want little trinkets to represent having been there. But wouldn't you say, Donald, they're more interested in rosary beads and religious objects when they're there?
As far as the pilgrims, yes. I will say, though, mm-hmm. that climbing Cross Mountain, there was two ladies. One of them was like a grandmother, and one of them was like a granddaughter that was up there begging for money when we came by there. And they were good at it. I mean, even if you gave them like something the equivalent of a dollar, they would take that and then without even missing a beat, begging more and more and more. It's just like, wow. You know, it's just, they probably make a kill in a day's time because everybody going up there. But you're going to have that everywhere.
You're going to
have that kind of thing everywhere.
Yeah. Well, we're going to now talk about something that is so much like Fatima. On August 2nd, 1981, we're still in the first year, on the Feast of Our Lady, Queen of Angels, a series of celestial displays began and have continued to the present day. Just like at Fatima in 1917, the sun was seen to spin on its own axis just before sunset. Witnessed at that time by 150 people that day, they could stare at the sun without hurting their eyes, just like at Fatima. It seemed to come toward those who were watching it. In other words, the sun seemed to come close to the earth and then recede back to its position in the sky, just like Fatima. And as it came closer, great darkness appeared behind it. The reaction of the 150 witnesses varied from praying to crying to panic or running away. After 15 minutes, same as Fatima, It ceased spinning as a white cloud was seen coming down over the mountain and toward the sun. A large number of people also saw numerous globes of different colors moving around the sun, while others claim they saw Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. I'm sorry, Our Lady, and then the Sacred Heart, and a great number of angels with trumpets coming out of the dimmer sun. Others also saw a large heart with six smaller hearts beneath it, which they thought might represent the Virgin and the six children. And here is one Franciscan priest describing the event. And this was on August 3rd and 4th. Father Umberto Loncar, a Franciscan priest, this is his quote. "Many pilgrims observed that the sun had become pale and that it had bright rings around it. These rings were casting reddish rays on the parish church of Medjugorje. A little later, they saw bright globes of different colors rotating around the sun. All of this was seen while Our Lady was appearing to the visionaries from 6:20 to 6:40 p.m. I myself had not bothered to look at the sky, and so I didn't really believe in them. The next day, I did gaze carefully toward the sun and did observe what the pilgrims had been reporting. But I assume there must be natural explanations. But the next day was a different matter. At exactly 6:20 p.m., the sun paled, a breeze sprang up, and a most unusual reddish-violet cloud traveled with considerable speed, much faster than clouds usually do, toward the huge cross on Mount Prizavac. It hovered over the huge cross for a minute or two, then started to move eastward and down toward the earth. I was awestruck with what I saw next. A magnificent reddish-violet figure of Our Lady rising from Mount Cernica, or Podbrdo, as it rose majestically in the sky, it slowly lost its delightful reddish-violet color and began slowly disappearing. But I saw her unusually white veil fluttering elegantly in the air under Our Lady's feet for about 30 seconds, unquote. All right. That's an amazing, amazing witnessing. What do you think?
John, Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 19, "And I will work wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and a cloud of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and splendid day of the Lord. And it shall be that everyone shall be saved who calls on the name of the Lord." But, you know, there will be signs in the sky. There will be times for situations where the Lord is showing us signs and wonders. And that's exactly what you're describing here. Do you have any thought on that? Do you have any thought on that, Mike?
Occurred at the time of the apparitions, the exact time of the apparition is when it occurred, too.
Yep. Well, and that you're still looking at something that cannot be scientifically tested. It's beyond the scope of our science.
Yep.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Kathy, are you still listening? Are you hanging in there, or do you have any thought on what we're talking about? Kathy? Okay, that's fine. Well, I think you got a point there. Go ahead there, John.
I was going to say, here's another related incident, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Quick. On December 9th, 1983, on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a group of pilgrims reported their deeply moving experience. And I think you'll appreciate this when you hear it, Donald. Quote, we had a sun miracle at 1 o'clock p.m. We had just walked behind the church when a storm commenced. The church seemed to shake. Clouds as dark as night were driven across the sky by this brief storm. Suddenly, the sun broke through with spectacular rays. Then we saw the sun spin, seen most clearly by our most skeptical members. That's interesting. It was seen most clearly by our most skeptical members. That was deliberate. Everyone got on their knees because we all saw the darting and fiery rays breaking through the dark clouds in various directions. As the clouds disappeared, the sky became rose red and the sun paled. Seen in the sun was the Andrew Cross. As it disappeared, a huge cross made of light began to be raised above the sun, peaked by a crown. Around it, the darkness grew again, as though the judgment of God was at hand. And then, this is the key part, all of this time, the huge cross on the mountain was invisible. Now, this is the 30-foot-high concrete cross erected in the 30s, and it's gone. It's not there during this particular time. And the spectacular rose colors grew brighter and brighter, twirling around the cross of light that was above the sun. But during that whole time, the concrete cross on the mountain was gone. Now, you know from being there, Donald, that's quite a feat.
Yeah, for it just to disappear, yeah, that's...
Major.
Something else upstaged it is what it really amounts to, I think. Something else upstaged it that our Lord wanted us to see or that he wants to show. And that's kind of what we are seeing here.
Yep. So very impressive stuff being reported. All right. Well, with that, we're going to break this week, and we'll continue next week with more from Medjugorje. We have so much more that has been witnessed, reported. I mean, we're just scratching the surface here, folks. I mean, this is a summary of the events, a summary. And yet, it's taken us weeks just to get through a summary of what went on there. So I think that's real important to realize. All right, well, any final comments from anyone before I do the worldwide Hail Mary?
I think this whole thing about the summary, when you look at the New Testament, I see that as a summary as well, because all the miracles that Jesus worked, you couldn't even imagine how much that actually was. In fact, St. John said, there, John chapter 21, verse 24, it is this apostle or disciple who testifies to these things and have written them, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things that Jesus did, but if these were to be described individually, I don't think that the whole world would contain the books that would be written. Wow.
Wow.
And that's kind of what I kind of see that here.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. I agree. All right. Well, now we want to make heaven smile. So by having all of our voices around the world join in together and say, oh, Hail Mary, we know that our voices will be in unison, rising up to heaven, and we know that heaven will smile, hearing all those voices all around the world at the same moment. So join with me now. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless every one of you who joined in tonight, and we hope that you enjoy this information. Hopefully it was inspiring, educational, interesting, and certainly different than anything else you could have been listening to at this time. So we hope you join us next week as we continue going through this summary of the many amazing things that happened in Medjugorje. And then maybe you'll have a better informed appraisal of this whole apparition. All right. Any final words, Donald?
Hey, I think this is good. And this is good for the scientific scrutiny that we were looking at today that you were showing. Because that to me, I think, it deserves our consideration. Definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think there, Mike?
Well, I was just thinking of a quote from Archbishop Sheen, who says there are two classes of people who search for Christ. One is the simple, the other is the learned. Those who know that they don't know anything, and those that know that they don't know everything.
I like
that. We have the shepherds at the manger, as well as the magi, also known as wise men.
Yep.
Yep.
Amen.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
All right. Go for it. You didn't pray yet, did you?
Yes, he did.
Where were you? Where were you?
He fell asleep.
Okay.
No, that's good. That is very good. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show, an in-depth examination of the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host has been John Carpenter, an expert on more than 90 confirmed apparitions of our Blessed Mother. Be sure to join us again as we examine another Marian apparition in depth, right here on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.